What I'd like to do tonight is nothing terribly profound. All I'd like to do is to review this covenant with us. We've done this before, but it's been some time, and it seemed like it would be a good idea to do it now, since we've not had the Lord's Supper for 16 weeks since February. And what I'm going to try to do, and this will be challenging, what I'm going to try to do is just to go through basically phrase by phrase and then read one scripture text to justify, to clarify, to see that the covenant is, we could say, well, it's not the Bible, but I hope that we see that in a certain sense, yeah, it really is. It is not word for word at all from scripture text, but I hope that you will see that the principles here are very much derived from scripture, and these are not just isolated proof texts, they're just some that I chose to read for our own edification and help. But the covenant is not just some kind of a man-made thing that somebody came up with and that we adopted here. This covenant has been in place since before I was ever here, when the church was founded in 1983. And I think sometimes whenever we do something on a regular basis, whether it's the Lord's Supper itself, or read a covenant, or sing a song, or anything, even have a prayer, it's really possible, isn't it? It's our human nature. It's just very possible to kind of not engage, somehow to be, you know, the lights are on, nobody's home type thing, just not engaged, not fully engaged. And of course, our Lord said to the woman at the well that God is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship does not occur just because we're in this room. Worship is something that happens in us. And when we come together corporately, there's something special about a whole bunch of worshipers lifting their praise to the Lord at the same time. So if you'd like to follow along, it's there in the front of your hymnal. And I'm just going to try to make my way through this without, what'll be difficult is not commenting, but we'll see. All right, so it begins. Having been led by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and on our profession of our faith in him. John 1, 11 and 12 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, there's our text, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The covenant says, having been led by the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It goes on and says, and on our profession of faith in him, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A very familiar passage, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We do now most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. That's how the first paragraph of our covenant concludes. It says, we have received Christ as our Savior. Based on that, we were baptized. And then it concludes as kind of an introduction to the covenant when it says, we do now most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. Solemnly, joyfully, seriously, a serious commitment and covenant and vow that we're making to each other, as well as joyfully. It's not under duress. This is what God tells us to do, and we know that he tells us to do it both for his glory and for our benefit. We do now most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. Scripture says this, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And of course, that really goes right along with much of what we looked at this morning in 1 Peter, talking about the church and the people of God. Not just a lot of individuals around, but individual churches that God has placed all over this planet ever since he went back to heaven, that as a body, we serve, worship, honor the Lord and each other. Now, based on that introductory paragraph, it goes on and it says, we promise. It says, we promise that we will watch over and counsel one another in the spirit of brotherly love. The Bible says, as we recently looked at in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. We promise that we will watch over and counsel one another in the spirit of brotherly love, that we will remember one another in our prayers. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And covenant says that we will aid each other in sickness and distress. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. James 2:14 through 17 says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him, or literally that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. It's just lip service. The next paragraph goes on and says, we further agreed, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love. John 13 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. To strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. To promote its prosperity and spirituality, Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Are you following this? I'll give you a little break until we just plow right through. But I just encourage you to kind of match the scriptures with what's being, what we're covenanting and promising and agreeing. It goes on talking about the church, and it says that we agree to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. 1 Corinthians 11 was just read in our hearing. Brother read those verses. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7 say this, I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And then the third verse of Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The covenant goes on that we agree to give it, that is our church, a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin. Matthew 6:33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 2 Corinthians 8:2-5. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The next paragraph goes on. We further covenant to maintain family and private devotions. Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. To religiously educate our children, got a bunch of verses here. 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:4-7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Psalm 78:5-8 says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The covenant, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. Scripture, Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Matthew 4:19, as we have on our walls here, he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The covenant, to live carefully in this present world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment. Ephesians 5 and 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Philippians 2, 14 to 15, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, this will be the text for next Sunday, the Lord willing. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Back to the covenant. We covenant to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Colossians 3:8, now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And of course, 1 Peter 2:1, that we looked at in great detail last Sunday, wherefore laying aside all, how did it go, malice and all guile and envies and hypocrisies and all evil speakings. The covenant says to abstain from everything that will cause our brother to stumble or that will bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. Scripture says, Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Covenant says, and to strive to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And the covenant, that amidst evil and good report, we will humbly and earnestly seek to live to the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. 1 Peter 2:19 through 25, we'll get to this in a few weeks in God's will. This is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. And then the covenant concludes with these words. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Acts 18 verses 24 through 28 put it like this. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. I hope that hearing the scripture really further is useful of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. That he could take the scripture and help us to recognize that this is pretty serious stuff. To make a vow, to make a covenant, to make a promise. You know, the time was, I think, that we, in our culture, our society, we really felt like it was very important to be, we would call it, a man of your word. Perhaps we've lost some of that. But that's okay. Just because society does, we don't have to. I hope that you and I can be challenged and really refresh, really revive this whole sense of church. These are tough days. These are difficult days. And perhaps we're not even always aware of all that God is doing in us when we worship God together, when we come together as the people of God. All that God does, when we just simply come together. Fellowship before, fellowship after. Just spending time. I was thinking this morning, sitting here, and we went through the songs, and we don't have the choir, we don't have special music, we don't receive an offering. We won't receive an offering tonight for the Lord's Supper for the Deacon's Fund, but you're welcome, of course. If you came prepared, you'd like to give, you can just put it in the box. Mark it Deacon's Fund, that'd be fine, or Lord's Supper or something. But I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I hadn't really thought about this before, but I really kind of missed today just the fact that we generally take time right in the service to greet one another. We don't have to do that. But I was thinking there how many times you have come up to me right where we're shaking hands and say, and ask me a question or tell me something that I need to know or some prayer request or some need or something that comes up. We just don't have that. We don't have that interaction at the same level. No fault, not faulting anybody, not blaming anybody. It just is what God has given us to deal with. I hope, I pray that this time can cause us to be even more, should I say, grateful and even jealous of what God has given us in our church and really just be a blessing to each other.